Bon dia. I'm gone for a couple weeks. I learned another language. Isn't that awesome, man? Hey, well, before we talk a little bit about Brazil, dads, if you didn't get your cool Father's Day gift, it was either this or a flower, and I just thought you guys might like this better than a flower. So, dads, have fun. Everybody needs an extra measuring tape. Amen? Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys. Blessings on you. So. Yeah, so we got back last Saturday. Roxanna and Chip were here last Sunday. I'm still recovering from some mysterious Amazon jungle thing that got in me. And I thought at first it was like a, you know, an anaconda that crawled into my ear or something, or a crocodile or something. But anyway, I'm doing better, trying to fight this infection and this cold and everything. But I thought this morning we could take some time to tell you a little bit about the Brazil trip. And so Roxanna and Chip, if you guys come on up here, Roxanna, and we'll take a few minutes to show you some pictures. Oh, let's see. So let's start with, I forget who was first. What's the first picture? Is it Roxanna or you? Chip. All right, Chip. So tell us a little bit about this first picture here. Bring it up and we'll.
So the next picture
next is
coming
picture.
Up.
Hello. There we go. All right.
Well, this is our sleeping arrangements on the boat. As you can see, those are hammocks. So we slept in hammocks for 2 weeks, and they're pretty close together.
They're real close together.
Like one person is up top, and the next one is below you. So they're really not side by side. They're actually bunk beds.
They're bunk beds. They're
so
bunk
the first hammocks. Night, the guy next to me kept kicking me, and I was like, "Yeah, that's cool. Don't worry about it, man. It's all good." And the second night, I was like, "How many more times is he going to keep kicking me?"
He showed a lot of love, Chip. He showed a lot of love. Some guys were snoring. I don't know about that, but there were snores. And
we didn't have to worry about any wild animals because they weren't coming near our boat.
Boat life is a new adventure, let me tell you. Just, wow, man. Living on a boat is quite an adventure. All right, what else do we have, Chip?
So I had the opportunity to preach at the Vineyard Church in a city called Macapá. So that was really cool. The other guy next to me is the interpreter. That's Richie. He's the guy that does the water filters. So that was just an incredible, awesome first for me.
Yeah. I mean, how much fun is that? You get to go to another country. And, you know, if you've never done mission work, when you go to a third world country, you're from America, and first of all, they hold you in high esteem, but I believe there's an anointing. I truly believe there's an anointing, and Chip was fired up, man. It was awesome, man. So it was great, Chip. The sermon was awesome, man, about loving one another and stuff. So what about this cool hut there? Back it up.
So that's an average house on the Amazon River. Actually, from what I understand, where our guy Richie is at, this is a high-end home.
That's upper middle. Yeah, that was
yeah.
The upper middle.
Because he's actually got, you can't really see it, but he has an outer deck. And you also can't see it, but there's a satellite dish.
Yeah, they call that the national.
The national flower.
The national flower.
It's the satellite dish. No matter how, I mean, we went into some really poverty-stricken homes. I mean, dirt floors, no bigger than this up here. But they all had a flat-screen TV.
And a satellite, and electricity, dish. But living in houses that are just horrendous, man.
Yeah.
And everybody we talk to, drinking the water right out of the river.
The water's filthy.
It's beyond filthy. It's full of all kind of horrible stuff. And everybody on the river is drinking that stuff, and they're all getting sick. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. All right, give Rox the mic. Rox, what's a couple thoughts you have? What do we have here for a picture?
Okay, so great evening. We drove 6 hours in on a bus to this little village. We went around and invited people from the village to an event that evening. Dave got to preach the event, and there was a great amount of people, even though they're from a Catholic and you know, have that background. There were a lot of people who gave their hearts to Jesus that night. And so the next day we invited those people to get baptized. And so we went down to the Blue Lagoon, not the Amazon, And the Blue Lagoon was gorgeous. No fish, no nothing lives in it. It's just this magnesium lake. And these folks got baptized that day, which was amazing.
It was amazing. And it looks like we got to be part of a church plant. They've got a guy going in there to follow up with these people and start a Bible study. So it was like, wow, we're like real missionaries. We started a little church there. It was really great. So wonderful evening working with these people. And then what's this, Rox?
Okay, so I just found this little guy, and he was so cute. And I wanted to take him home with me.
He was not little, Rox. He was, how big, Chip? Yeah.
And Harry.
It was such a cute little guy. But they
Roxanna,
were...
She's Jungle Woman, you know, Roxanna. Like, I had nightmares after that. I had thinking nightmares, man.
No, that was just one of those little creatures that hung out in the jungle area.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when I got down there, there was just such a kindred spirit with all the Vineyard church people and all the ladies. I just fell in love with them. And I just have that burning warm feeling inside even now from being with all those people in our church, La Vigna. Down there.
All right.
So, yeah, that was great.
Good. Thanks, Rox. Yeah. And Chip, good job. So, yeah, just to get a little feedback. So, thank you. You guys can be seated. All right, thanks. Oh, yeah. So I forgot. So, Chip, I have one more question for you. What would you say to people sitting there thinking, I might want to go on this trip next year? What would you say?
So if you are interested in going what I would call beyond your comfort zone, beyond roughing it, we are taking a team down there next year, probably around the same time, but we have an interest meeting on July 16th after the service upstairs in the community room. And I think there's something about that in the bulletin if you want to sign up or just show up. We're going to start meeting once a month, but we'll start July 16th. After the service, upstairs in the community room.
There you go, man. Awesome. Really good stuff. Thank you, Chip. Thanks, Roxanna. Yeah, so some of the highlights for me, I got to preach at that one service. Everybody who's on the team either preaches something at a devotion or does a testimony. So one thing for sure, if you go on these trips, you're going to be a missionary. You're going to preach. You're going to give your testimony. You're going to do something. So it's really kind of fun. But I got to preach that night. And I say if you believe in this thing called an anointing, which I believe there is such a thing as an anointing, when you're doing special things for God, I think God anoints you. And I just say you step into the anointing. You move in it and you become intentional. And so, like Chip, I said, was fired up. I was fired up, man. All those people up front there got saved, rededicated their lives. We spoke into their lives. It was just awesome. And then the ministry time with the Vineyard Church in the one city we were mostly working with, is called Makapa, and it's got a great church on fire for Jesus. And each night, we had like a couple night services there, and there was just wonderful worship. I mean, there's something cool about singing the same songs we sing on Sunday, they sing down there, only they're singing them in Portuguese, and we're singing them in English, and it was just awesome. But the ministry time was wonderful, just wonderful. And, you know, again, we just spoke into the lives of the people, and it was just a tremendous opportunity. So, just a little summary about what's going on, because there's a little bit of confusion. We were not able to deliver the filters. We were tagging along with another Vineyard church, Sunbury Vineyard, and this was an exploratory trip. We were there to meet our missionary family, Rich. This is Rich, and I'm about to say his name. It's a little hard. Boutsier. Is that right, Chip? Boutsier from Canada. Awesome. Awesome people. And the reason we're adopting them as our mission family, the Sunbury Church up in Sunbury, the Vineyard Church, has been supporting Richie, but they also have sent out in the last 3 or 4 years so many missionaries from their own church to Brazil and other places that when we started saying we're looking to get involved in another mission project, I met with the pastor there. He asked, you know, what we were interested in. I told him we'd heard about the filters, and so he suggested we kind of do a swap. We're going to adopt Richie and his family so that this other Vineyard church can continue to support the missionaries that they have down there. One of them is the pastor's son, Chris, and his wife, Denise, who's a Brazilian, and a number of other missionaries they've sent. So we're adopting this family, And I'm telling you, these people are awesome. We will get to meet them next year. They'll actually be taking a sabbatical next year, and we'll try and get them in sometime during the summer of next year. Actually, though, August of this year, the Sunbury missionaries, Christopher and his wife Denise, will be in town, and so we're going to try and have them come visit with us here and share a little bit about the work going on down there. But there's so much work going on, so many churches. There's about 100 vineyard churches in the country of Brazil, a bunch of them along being planted along the Amazon. Richie's a big part of that. And then also he's delivering the filters. So we went down to meet Richie, and then also to plan this trip. This trip is just crazy. The flights, just so much stuff. And then in order for us to deliver these filters, we would have had to taken, after whatever, 30 hours of traveling, 5 different airports, we would have had to get on a boat and float down the river another 18 hours to get to the base, and then get on another boat and go another day deeper into the jungle to start delivering these. And it was like, I think for now we'll just hang with these people in Makaba, get to see what's happening. But in June, so we've got this trip planned, June of next year, we'll be sending our team, and we're hoping to cut off some of this travel time, figure a different way to get into this guy's base. But from now until next year, excuse me, Richie is going to deliver 161 filters that we purchased. He's going to start delivering them. We're just now starting to finance that fund, get it set up. It's through a mission program called Zingu Mission. And Richie will deliver the 161 filters, and Chip's going to work with him, and we will tag these with a GPS tagger. And so over the next couple, 6 months or so, we'll show on Sunday morning, you'll see the tags where the filters are actually getting delivered. But I'm telling you, the need is beyond unbelievable. You just can't believe these people are drinking this water on the river. They don't think anything of it. And we've collected some interviews, and we'll show you those down the road. But people just tell you the story. Yeah, we drink that water. We all get sick. Our kids are in the hospital. You know, we're down for a couple months, and they just don't even think anything of it. But it's going to be a great thing. It really, really is going to be a great thing. So anyway, like Chip said, if you're interested in finding out more, there'll be a planning trip. But here's a final statement I want to make. So I've been pastoring for lots of years, and over the years we've done lots of different projects, and I personally have never been big on foreign missions. I just haven't. I mean, we've given to the foreign missions, but me personally, I just never felt led to go, and people always ask me, you know, why don't you go, why don't you go, and I say, because I don't feel like it, you know, I don't feel like God wants me to go. So when he says go, I'll go. Well, so several years ago, I went on my first foreign mission trip to Vietnam, and then I went a second time. And now I've gone down to Brazil, and I told Chip that I'll commit to go one more time next year in June. After that, it's his show, man. It's, you know, he's going to live on the river. But I have to say, there is something awesome about going on a foreign mission trip. It just is incredible. There's something about it, especially you go to these third world countries, and you see stuff. You see stuff in Vietnam, and you realize these people need God. They really need God. I mean, you're there for a purpose, and you go to Brazil. So our church now has 2 mission programs going. We've got one that goes in March of each year. The team will go again next year, 2018. They'll be delivering the wheelchairs. And then we'll be sending a team June of next year, sometime around June 2018. I just want to say to all of it, at some point in your life, you need to go on a mission trip, period. You just do. You really do. Doesn't matter how old you are, does not matter how young you are. We had the whole spectrum on this trip. We had a girl junior in high school, all the way up to people well into their 60s on this trip. You can do it. You can do any of these trips. I mean, you want to be a little bit flexible and you know, see which trip you should do. But I do want to encourage you. They're really, really incredible. And you get to be used by God in just that unusual way. You're there for a purpose. The anointing of God is on you. You preach, you pray. And you get to be used by God. So, all right, there's our Brazil trip, a couple of other things, and then I'm going to do a short devotional here this morning about dads. But 2 things happening I just want to mention to you. One is next Sunday, we have a young guy coming with us here. He's from a vineyard in Delaware, northwest here, a little bit northwest, or just off of 23. Great vineyard church. He is quitting his job as associate pastor, and he's moving to Marion to plant a new vineyard church. And I've gotten to know him. He goes by his initials, AR. Really exciting young guy. And I invited him to come here next week just so that you get to hear his story and to challenge you to start thinking about, you know, at some time in your life, you ought to take a risk for God. I mean, this guy is just, he is stepping out. His wife is expecting the month that they're planning to move. His wife is expecting, and they're moving up to Marion. They're going to plant a church. They're taking a number of people from their church. We've been a part of two church plants over the years. We don't have anything going on right now as a church plant, but I just want you to hear his story, and then also to encourage you. Let's as a church and let's as individuals consider being a part of what he's doing. Like, there's a number of ways you can help him financially. You can pray for him. He'll have some prayer cards. You can commit to praying for him for a year. He's going to have his kickoff service. I think it's going to be in October on a Sunday. Maybe some of you might want to drive up and just be a support to him on that Sunday to kind of bolster up the service. You could also, if you're a musician, you might be able to say to him, hey, AR, you know, if you're starting a church, if there's a Sunday you need some help or something, give us a call. Maybe we can help you out. But I just want you to hear his story. I think you're going to really enjoy it. The guy's really a fired up young guy, and it'll be a great story. All right? And then the last thing is, as you can see, we're getting close to finishing our project out here. The grass, everything's been graded. My goodness, has that been a project. The road is supposed to be paved, I think, in two more weeks, and then the project is done, except they still haven't put a sign up that says Palmer Road. I keep asking them, but we'll end up probably buying it ourselves. I don't know. But anyway, there's no sign there. So, but man, I met with the contractors. I met with Aetna Township trustee. I had phone conversations with Columbia Gas, trying to get any of these people to help us with our parking lot. And the only one that came through was Columbia Gas, and they patched a couple small holes they made. You guys see that out there? It's four patches, like really nice, beautiful. Gosh. As you can see, our parking lot has collapsed. It is shot. And, you know, part of it, I believe, is because of the traffic flow. But we're not going to get any help from anybody. So I'm asking you, folks, pray about helping us out. We have to get this thing repaved. In the month of July, we'll start talking about it. We're just going to do a real simple, like a pledge campaign. We need to raise about a little over $100,000 to repave this thing. And so it's costing about $500, a little under $550 per parking space. So what I'm asking you to pray about is if sometime during July you could commit to paying for one parking space over a year. It's about $45 a month. If we could get 100, 200 parking spaces paid for, pay for one for your family, and then if you really feel inspired, let's pray for a guest or a new person. We can get this thing paid for cash instead of borrowing money. So we have to get it done. I mean, you just have to drive out there. The whole thing has collapsed, and we need to get it done. So anyway, you'll hear more about this in July, but I just wanted to put it out there and say, start praying about it. Help us out. We need to get this thing repaved, a little over $100,000. And I think if we each bought a parking space, we can get real close to paying cash for this. Amen? So, you know, Father's Day is one of these great holidays that pastors always struggle over, like Mother's Day or certain holidays. Try to think about what kind of sermon to preach. And so, you know, I've been praying about this, and I just feel like I've got two words for everybody here, two passages of scriptures that just came into my heart as I was praying about this. One is to all the children and to talk to you about dad, and then one to all the dads just to give you some encouragement. And so the first one, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Passage you might be familiar with, but if not, it's in Ephesians chapter 6 and it's verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. It's actually the fourth commandment. I think it's the fourth commandment or the fifth commandment. It's the fifth commandment. Yep, it's the fifth commandment that of the Ten Commandments that God gave, and it's talking about this one is the first one that gives you some kind of promise if you do this. But I want you to notice something here. Maybe you missed this. Maybe you never thought about this, but you will notice that there's something missing in this verse. Yeah, there is something missing in this verse. So what it does not say, it does not say, honor your father and mother so long as they're awesome. Does your Bible say that? No. It doesn't say, honor your father and mother only when they're right. Does it say that? No, there's something missing here. There's something missing here, and it implies something. It does not say, honor dad. We'll just work with dad this morning. It does not say, honor dad because he's the best father in the world. Would this include a bad father? I think it does. It does not say here, only honor the good dads. Only honor the dads that were around all your life. Only honor the dads that were so cool, took you hiking, camping, bought you. Only honor the dads that gave you. No. It just says, honor your dad. And it says this is a commandment with promise because this is saying it's like a law of nature. In other words, if you do this, then this will happen. And if you don't do this, then this will happen. So the command is honor your dad. And if you do, your life is going to go well. You will be blessed. But it's a law. So the opposite would apply. If you don't honor dad, it will not go well with you. So what would be some words that might help us understand honor? Like honor, you know, lots of definitions, but I think of honor like respect. Respect dad. Forgive dad would be part of honor, giving him some grace. Listening to dad, you know, these would be ways you honor him. And the fact is, guys, I mean, kids, we all know that no dad is perfect. You know, we do our best. Every dad, if you ask every dad, he's going to tell you, I'm trying to do my best. Some dads do better than others. Some do worse. No dad is ever going to meet all the requirements and all the expectations that we have in our heart. And I've said this many times before, but I truly believe this. Until you get this figured out, how it works, you're going to have a frustrating time relating to your dad. You know, somewhere around 50% of children today are in an alienated relationship with dad. Through divorce, through abuse, through alcohol, through all kinds of situations. And you got, you know, the same amount of dads or a good percentage of dads alienated from their children. So you've got all these people that are struggling with their relationships with dad. And the struggle sometimes is, well, I have this expectation of dad. I expect him to, and then you have this list. You know, be there when I need him, talk to me, be smart, be cool, this and that and this and that. And so you have these dads that are trying to do their best, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care if you're the best dad who ever lived. The best. I mean, if you are the best dad, or you had the absolute best dad who ever lived, they still fall short. You can't do it. You can't meet the ultimate needs that we have, because the best way I can describe it is I would say everybody has got a God-shaped hole in their heart for fatherhood. And there's this story in the Gospels where Jesus is talking to the people, and he says, and it's in the Gospel of Matthew, he says this really incredible comment. He says, call no man your father, for you have one father, and that's your father in heaven. So when I was a new Christian, I read that for the first time, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is incredible. Jesus was talking about the Catholic Church. Because I was raised a Catholic, and we used to call the priest father. And so I read that, and I thought, wow, Jesus was saying you should never call a priest father. But as I matured in the faith, I began to realize, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't talking about the Catholic Church 2,000 years before it even started. Don't call any man your father, he said. You have a father in heaven. Well, for sure, Jesus wasn't doing away with the fifth commandment. Jesus wasn't saying, oh, the fifth commandment's no good anymore. And we have Paul here saying, honor your father and mother. So Paul picks up the theme. You're still supposed to honor your father and mother. What was Jesus saying? I believe he was saying, ultimately, you only have one dad, real dad, a heavenly father. And at some point in your life, you've got to let dad go and realize these expectations, a certain percentage of them, or a lot of these expectations that we have of our father, can never be met by an earthly man. They just cannot. And when you realize that and you start looking to your heavenly father to meet and fill that hole and that desire in your heart, it gives you the liberty to honor your dad and to start realizing, you know what, he's just a guy. He's just like you. He's just a guy. He's a human being. He's doing his best. And it should give you the liberty to forgive him when he falls short. So you can honor him. Unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment toward people, not just your dad, but to anybody, is so destructive. It distorts your thinking. When it comes to parents and children, if you carry unforgiveness toward dad, it so distorts your mind that you start fantasizing about the perfect dad. You see other kids and you think, oh man, he's got the perfect dad. Look at, oh man, they got the perfect family. Look at that. Now folks, is that reality? No, they don't know what's going on. They don't know every family's got their struggles. And when you carry unforgiveness, it distorts your reality and it causes you to do things and miss out on life. I would say this way, unforgiveness clogs the pipeline of grace. Unforgiveness, resentment clogs it. Forgiveness opens it up. It just opens up a flood where you begin to give and receive grace and you begin to understand people and what you can expect of people. And so when I read this here, Paul's saying, honor your father and mother. I'm telling you, he did not say only when they're good. He did not say only when they're meeting your needs. He didn't. So you can put in there, honor your dad even when he's not being the best dad. Honor your mom even when she's not always meeting your needs. Why? Because if you learn to do this, it will go well with you. You will extend grace to people. And you will look to get your needs met by the only one who can truly meet your needs, your Heavenly Father. Amen? Okay, so how about a word for the dads here? So dads, this is specifically to you. It's in Galatians chapter 6. And this is just something that just jumped out at me. It's actually part of the devotional I put in the bulletin for the weekly reading. If you're doing the weekly reading, I try to do a blog each week, just, you know, something about what the passage is. But this, excuse me, this passage is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in doing good while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What I want to say to the dads this morning is never give up. Ever. Ever. Never give up. Don't lose heart, because here's the thing. You will always be an influence in your child's life. Always. We know this to be true when the child is young and when they're developing and when they're, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we kind of lose the idea that maybe we're influencing them when they're teenagers. And then somewhere along the line in their 20s and 30s, you start thinking, well, I don't have influence in their life anymore. Dad, never give up. You are the ultimate voice in your child's life, in your child's head. You are the voice in their head. You wrote on it when they were little, and you continue to write on it as they grow. You are the voice in their head. Now, they may not always recognize it. They may do things and not realize, I'm doing this because dad, you know, this is from my dad. Or they may recognize. You may get the, you know, the support and the thanks. You may not. But I'm just here to tell you, Paul says, never give up. You know, maybe your child is not turning out the way you think they should. And there's this point in your life you start thinking, you know, I've done the best I can. It's up to God now. I say, no, you keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. You look for those opportunities. Maybe you're alienated from your son or your daughter, maybe through some divorce situations, whatever. But you still have influence. Look for opportunities. Look for the birthdays, the holidays, the phone calls, whenever you can. Look for the opportunity where you can speak into their lives. And be intentional about it. Be intentional. Look for those opportunities and recognize your position. This is the same thing I was talking about when, you know, doing mission work. Sometimes you can be overly humble. And you can say, no, I don't have that gift, or no, I don't have that opportunity. But I believe in the kingdom of God, there are opportunities that God opens up. And when you're looking and your eyes are open and you believe in the truth of the kingdom of God, where something like this, Paul's saying, look, don't get weary, keep pressing in due season you shall reap. When you believe that, then you're looking for opportunities. And then you're intentional and you step in and you seek to influence your child in the best way you can. Maybe it's one sentence, maybe it's something you write, maybe it's something you do, but the opportunity will come, and you just can't give up. Continue to invest. Obviously, when your children are little, you've got lots of opportunity, but as they move into those teen years, 20s and 30s, move out. Listen, I think dad's voice impacts the child's life even long after dad's gone. You know, I'm talking about my dad's passed away. I still hear his voice in my head. And it's good. I'm thinking, man, dad, that's awesome. You know, I wish I could thank him today. He's gone. But dad influenced me and will continue to influence me the rest of my life. So I'm taking that same advantage. I'm speaking into my kids. When I have opportunity, man, I'm never going to give up. My value of my children is not based on their performance. I don't love my children because they're successful. I don't love my children because they're smarter than all your kids. I don't love my children because they're the most beautiful, handsome kids in the world, you know. Let's take it easy. It's all right. I love my kids because they're my kids. They just are me. I can't help it. Rather than say I can't help it, I'm pressing in. I am not going to grow weary in well-doing. To the day I die, I will seek to influence them. And then I'll take it a step beyond that. I'm going to go after their grandkids. I'm going to influence them, man. I mean, a little bit with candy and stuff like that. No, it's just that it's recognizing your position. Dad, your impact is incredible. And I just want to encourage you this morning, step into it. Look for those opportunities. Influence your children from birth all through your life. Write that. Be the voice in their head. Amen? Let's stand up. I want to pray for the dads. If you're a dad this morning, would you just do me a favor? Raise your hand, and if you're not a dad, would you go lay hands on one of the dads here this morning? We want to bless our dads. So if you're a dad, hold your hand up. If you're not a dad, let's go stand by one of the dads. And then I'm just gonna pray a blessing over the dads. But I want to release here this morning just a little more freedom in all of your hearts and minds. You know, the Holy Spirit of God always has something to say. Always does. And the thing is, he only does it through us. He doesn't speak like a voice in the clouds. So I'm just going to ask as we pray over these men that if the Spirit of God gives you something to say to them, step into it. You know, speak that word into their heart. If you don't feel comfortable doing it just yet, maybe you can do it after the service. But I want to release the Holy Spirit. Some of these guys need some words this morning. Some of these guys need an encouraging word, maybe need some direction or something. So, dads, raise your hand. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak blessings to every dad here this morning. Dads, we honor you. We honor you this morning. Not because you're so great, not because you're so smart. We honor you because you are a dad, and God has put you in this position. And God, we pray you bless this, God. Give them, revitalize their vision and passion, God. That they recognize, I'm a dad. I have influence. I can give direction, guidance. Give them wisdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. Any dads here this morning, God, that may be alienated, in some kind of situation that's difficult with their children, I pray today, God, you awaken that passion again, that anointing again. Maybe even give them a plan, something they can start doing, God. That you begin to mend and restore relationships. Father, that families are united here this morning, God. I speak against any sense of guilt, mistakes we've made. We, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you, forgive us for those mistakes. But this morning we're committing to press in. Press in, God, in the name of Jesus. Dads, we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Amen, dads. Amen. Let's have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. Let's get a sense. A couple things I just kept hearing as we were worshiping that I felt like the Holy Spirit was touching some of your hearts today about going on a mission trip next year, maybe Brazil or Vietnam, but this is what I felt. I felt like you were hearing voices in your head, and the voices were saying, yeah, but, how am I going to come up with enough money? Or, yeah, but, I might be too old, or yeah, but, yeah, 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 but, yeah, but. Listen, that's not the voice of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not hearing by the words of doubt. And I just want to put it out here this morning. If God's beginning to stir your heart and you're struggling with it, I just want to ask that maybe you get some prayer this morning and settle this issue, that you're going to listen to the words of faith. Let God speak into your heart. If God's telling you to do it, the job, the money, the situation will work itself out. But you need to listen to the words of faith, the voice of faith. So if you feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, I just want, you know, this would be a time to get it sealed. I sense the Holy Spirit. I'm going to press in on that. And then also, I got a sense that some of the dads here this morning, that because of situations you're in, you might be wondering, you know, how can I reach this child of mine? And I just felt this morning the Holy Spirit wants to give you a game plan, a legitimate game plan. I mean, there are things that God will speak to you about. Maybe you should set a day aside and pray or fast. Maybe you should write a letter. Maybe you should go visit, whatever it is. But I just feel like this morning the Holy Spirit wants to give you a game plan that if you respond to it, you'll see some fruit. So also, one last thing. I just sensed somebody was having trouble sleeping, grinding their teeth or something. Somebody just, something wrong with their jaw this morning. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning about struggling with sleeping and grinding their teeth? Anybody here? Am I speaking to anybody here about that? I just sense the Holy Spirit wanted to bring some healing. You don't need to have grinding your teeth. Anybody this morning? All right, well, we're going to close with prayer. One last song. If you need prayer for anything special, you'd like prayer for any of those things I mentioned, we'll be up here and be glad to pray with you.
before you leave today, grab someone, hug them, love on them. We just thank everyone for being here this morning. Love on your fathers, especially your Heavenly Father today. Amen. We love you. Be blessed.